I think we can start this meeting. We don't need to have a quorum. Welcome to everybody and thank you that you are here. We can start off by introducing ourselves. I'm Ellen Prince and I'm from the Western Cape. Can I give over to the members to introduce themselves?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair. My name is Ulifile Sefako. I'm from Northwest. Thank you.
Morning, Jomo Nyambe from Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, Omi Singh, Member of this Committee, KwaZulu-Natal.
Morning, my name is Makosi Ntuli. I'm from KZN, Chair, Agriculture.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Shumi Pango from the Department of Science and Technology. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Yona Seleti, leading the delegation from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tom Sugnandan, and I'm from the Department of Science and Technology.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Carol van Wyk. I'm from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, honorable members. It's Wiseman from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Paul Masimula. I'm a parliamentary liaison officer of the minister.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Sanelisi Linazo from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Khunze Mutobi from the Department of Science and Technology Legal Services.
Good morning, honorable chair. Good morning, honorable members. I'm Barbara Lewis. I'm your parliamentary legal advisor.
Good morning, chairperson and members. I'm Renee Osborne Mullins, the content advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology.
Morning, members. I'm Ms. Siswama Yanmela, PLO for Western Cape.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Ellen Sana from Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Pumelele Sibisi. I am the committee secretary. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Eric Boskati. I'm the content advisor for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Amanda Zindland. I'm the committee assistant.
Good morning, Chairperson and the members. Delegate from the department. My name is Justice Mulafo from Parliament Communications.
Go straight to that. We are going to rest of the different provinces is going to read out the mandate that they received. We shall receive all the nine, from all nine provinces.
No, short of one.
Oh,
Northern Cape.
Northern Cape we don't have now, but all eight provinces, other provinces submit their mandates. And all the regions who are present will read out the mandates. And if there is not a person representing one, we will read it out from here. I can read the mandate. Any other member, for that matter, we can ask.
Why don't you tell me?
Can we start? Who is?
KZN.
Can we start with KZN? KZN? Thank you. The mandate. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief. With KZN, we did have the hearings within four districts. The input is as follows. Or the member, the portfolio committee met yesterday. All parties supported the bill with the slightly amendment. In fact, it's just the addition from Zululand district, and the DA rejected it through the mandate from the party. The input is as follows. A member of the public raised a concern that at times indigenous knowledge gets undermined to the point that those opposed to it may mispresent its existence negatively, and urge that such conduct should be reflected as an offence in clause 28 of the bill. Then our conclusion is as follows. The committee, having considered the above concern, agreed that it is valid and needs to be addressed at the select committee. The committee met on the 12th June 2018, and the majority agreed to support the bill, subject to the concern as stated above being seriously considered by the Department of Science and Technology prior to the final and voting mandate being conferred by the House. The Democratic Alliance rejected the bill on the grounds that regulations were not presented before the committee and dealt with together with the bill. The negotiating mandate is attached here, herein as an extra A of the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, let's deal with all the mandates. The department will be noting, and then at the end we'll allow them the opportunity to comment. Chair, the negotiating mandate from Mpumalanga, they've outlined the name of the bill, Protection, Promotion, Management and Development of Indigenous Knowledge Bill. They've specified the number of bills, B6, B2016. The date of deliberation is 7 June 2018. Then we come to the vote of the legislature. The Portfolio Committee on Education, Culture, Sports and Recreation, after considering the Protection, Promotion, Management and Development of Indigenous Knowledge Bill, B6B 2016, confers on the permanent delegate representing the Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature in the NCOP the mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill without any proposed amendments. Chair, and on behalf of Mpumalanga, we have attached the detailed report of the entire process of the province. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Northwest let me just straight go to, okay, the date of deliberations was on the 5th of June 2018. The number of bill is B6B 2016, vote of legislature. The Portfolio Committee on Culture, Arts and Traditional Affairs mandates the Northwest NCOP permanent delegates to negotiate in favor of the promotion, protection, development and management of Indigenous Knowledge Bill, B6B 2016, considering the attached proposed amendment. Proposed amendment. Establishment of advisory panel. It is 7 subsection 1. Appointment of advisory panel. It proposed that it should be explicit that knowledge holders and practitioners, including indigenous knowledge system, ambassadors and graduate, should be included in the advisory panel, to ensure that the industry will not exploit the indigenous knowledge for their own benefit. Subsection 2D. Specialist in the discipline of practice based on the criteria prescribed. The proposed number of the panel, not enough. Proposal is therefore made that at least each province must be represented, and criteria of the selection criteria should be disclosed. I don't know whether I should pause and then should be some vote on the exception of those.
Yeah.
On chapter 4, protection of indigenous knowledge, 9.1, protection of registered indigenous knowledge, the above clause should address how the unregistered knowledge will be protected within the indigenous community. Okay. Chapter 5, accreditations of assessors, 14.2. In the processing of subsection 1, application, NICSO A must evaluate each applications in accordance with the prescribed procedure and the requirements, and B may issue an accreditation certificate to act as assessor if it is satisfied that the applicant meet the prescribed criteria. The bill is not clear as to the situation prior to the selections of the assessor with regard to the standard and who is eligible to evaluate assessor at NICSO. As communities differ, as well as the standards are not the same. The approval should be based on how long was the candidate been involved in a certain community. 14D, accepted unlawful compensations in respect of the certifications of an indigenous knowledge practitioner. There should be a clear interpretation of the word practitioner, as the word means someone who is practicing the use of this knowledge, but the bill is describing practitioner as someone who has acquired knowledge from the knowledge holder practitioner to teach and facilitate. Certification of indigenous knowledge practitioners, that's 15.6. Subject to subsection 5, no indigenous knowledge practitioner may practice for gain unless the practitioner is registered with the relevant government department and granted permission to practice in terms of the applicable prescribed practice standard. Based on the definition of the word practitioner, what if a practitioner is traditional healer who uses knowledge to provide for the family? Does a practitioner facilitating or providing knowledge? Okay. There should be a clear distinction between those categories. Chapter 6, Registration Office for Indigenous Knowledge. NICSO must establish a registration office for indigenous knowledge. It is proposed that offices to be accessible across the country and not only in Pretoria. Accessibility of resources, offices are common factors among local communities, because even the national recorder system are not accessible to communities. Awareness regarding NICSO should be made as it seems as if local knowledge practitioners are overlooked. Curator of indigenous knowledge, verse 18:2. The curator is responsible for the control of regulations office, subject to the direction and instruction issued by the minister or director general as delegated by the minister. Proposal to change the word curator to researcher based on the explanation of the curator and the subject involved as it refers to knowledge and not art. Chapter 7, product development, commercializations, services and the processes. 25, NICSO may add the request of indigenous community, provide assistance or facilitate the commercial use of its indigenous knowledge. Proposal that the benefit sharing model to be applied as far as commercial use is concerned, to assist practitioner to benefit what is rightfully theirs. 25.2, NICSO must, in respect of commercial use of indigenous knowledge, in terms of commercial use of product, proposal is made that there should be an establishment of indigenous knowledge machines, facilities in the communities. For example, use of indigenous plants to make coffee, etc., as well as empowerment of women and youth knowledge holders. Knowledge empowerment provided by knowledge holders. Jobs can be created as those machineries will require operators. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Vote of the Gauteng Provincial Legislature. Gauteng Legislature supports the principles and details of the bill and therefore votes in favor of the bill. Protection, promotion, development and development management of indigenous knowledge systems, B6B 2016. I thank you, Honorable Chair.
On Premier and Constitutional Matters report that it confers on the Western Cape permanent delegate in the NCOP the authority to support the bill with the attached proposal.
I thought you were doing such a good job, Chair, no problem. No problem.
chairperson, the Western Cape decided on the bill on the 12th of June 2016. The Standing Committee on the Premier and Constitutional Matters reports that it confers on the Western Cape's permanent delegate in the NCOP the authority to support the bill with the attached proposal. Now, the attached proposal reads, negotiating mandate states, report of the Standing Committee on Premier and Constitutional Matters on the Protection, Promotion, Development and Management of Indigenous Knowledge Bill, B16, NCOP Section 76, dated 12 June 28, as follows. The Standing Committee on Premier and Constitutional Matters, having considered the subject of the Protection, Promotion, Development and Management of Indigenous Bill, B16 NCOP referred to the committee in terms of Standing Rule 220, confers on the Western Cape's delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill. The committee further proposes the following, that the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act of 2013, Act 28 of 2013, be repealed as it does not appear to be compatible with the Protection, Promotion, Development and Management of Indigenous Knowledge Bill. B6B16 NCOP Section 76.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. It is a mandate of the Western Cape. Can I do, or can I ask someone to do the Eastern Cape one? Or must I must be? Thank you very much. The Eastern Cape deliberates on this bill on the 12th of June 2018. The province votes in favor of the bill and mandates the Eastern Cape delegate to the NCOP to negotiate within the following parameters. 1. Clause 1 of the bill A, the definition of trustees must be amended to accommodate not only one person as a trustee, but two and not more than five people from the indigenous community who may include a traditional leader where applicable and be representative of broad stakeholder space and skills of the indigenous community. 2. Clause 6 of the bill, A. It is suggested that this clause be amended by the insertion of subsection 4 in clause 6 of the bill as follows. For the minister must ensure that NICSO has accessible offices in all provinces. 3. Clause 7 of the bill A. It is suggested that this clause be amended by the insertion of a new subparagraph in subsection 2 of section 7 of the bill as follows. E. The relevant indigenous community members. 4. Clause 12 of the Bill A. It is proposed that the clause must provide for mechanism to accountability of the trustee to the indigenous community circumstances under which a trustee may be removed and consequences of failure to perform duties and to act in accordance with the instructions and best interest of the community. B. It is further proposed that subsection 3 of clause 12 of the bill be amended as follows. 3. In the event that as long as the indigenous community of the relevant indigenous knowledge cannot be identified and designated, NICSO must act as a custodian of the indigenous knowledge for a period of 2 years with the rights and obligations of a trustee of that indigenous knowledge. C. It is proposed that the new subsection 4 be included as follows. 4. NICSO must take all reasonable steps to identify the indigenous community to which the indigenous knowledge belongs. 5. General comment. A report of the Portfolio Committee attached here to highlights other issues raised by the stakeholders related to the bill before the Portfolio Committee and are matters that ought to be given.
given serious consideration by the Department of Science and Technology. Thank you. That is the mandate of the Eastern Cape. Free State. Free State is only one page, and the mandate, the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development, is designated by the Free State legislative votes in favor of the bill with no amendments. Thank you. We don't have a rep from Limpopo. Who's going to volunteer? Is there someone? I don't want to do anything. You can go and proceed if you want. But if, even if you're from Northern Cape, I'm asking you. I don't have a problem. I just don't want to do it alone. Okay, Limpopo. Yeah?
Yeah?
Are you doing Limpopo?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have Limpopo. The deliberations were on the 13th of June 2016. The province vote in favor of the bill and mandates the permanent delegate to the NCOP to negotiate in favor of the bill. Proposed amendments is clause 28, page 13, line 11, insert the phrase imprisonment or between the words to and pay delete and the word pay. That's the mandate, that's the negotiating mandate from Limpopo Provincial Legislature Chair. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. We're wondering whether we could ask for your consideration of just giving us 10 minutes so that we can coordinate the comments.
Study group at 3:30.
Yes, after the session.
Yes. Con
Thank you.
Welcome back. Can we proceed with our meeting? By the responses of you, you still need to submit the responses most in any case, but you're going to respond to us now. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for giving us that time. Probably we want to begin with our appreciation of the support that we have received. I think we went into 32 venues in this public engagement. In each one of them, we are very thankful for the support and cooperation that we were able to do. We were there to assist, and they really used us to the greatest extent. And in terms of the responses, we have considered, maybe we'll begin with the first one from KZN. There were two issues that were raised from KZN. One was that one of the parties could not vote for the, because the regulations were not accompanied. Now, the bill itself has been very clear that it has given the minister the mandate, the responsibility to publish and develop the regulations. So it is assumed that that will be done after the Act has come into existence. So it was really premature to raise that issue earlier. The second matter that was raised was around the offences, that we also did not probably list most of the offences. And it is true that we haven't outlined all the offences, and the regulations will be much more clearer on those regulations, on those offences. So it is still coming. It will be provided for within the regulations. It is normally a caution that is exercised not to have an exhaustive list that you would look at. Then that is KZN, that those are the issues that were raised, so they will definitely, for the second one, be outlined in the regulations. In the question of Mpumalanga, the mandate was clear, there was no issue raised, and the same with the Gauteng. However, Northwest had a number of issues that they had raised, and we could not share that. Probably one of the reasons is that it is the only province in which the public hearings, we did not send any representative to that because we were stretched, we were all over. And that could give the reason why there are so many questions that have come from the province. However, there are reasonable questions which would wish to address in terms of where they're coming from. In terms of the advisory panel, there's a proposal in terms of categories, and there's already a list of categories under that. So we'll take it under advice in terms of that particular issue. And then we also looked at the number within the same issue of the advisory panel. There's a talk around the number, and that too, and the criteria, but that too will come out a lot more clearer in the regulations. This is very high-level principles that then the actual implementation of it will be reflected. So we will take note of these comments when those are looked at. The section, the one on Chapter 4 on the protection of indigenous knowledge, we note that the question is referring to the unregistered indigenous knowledge. You need to probably understand it in the context in which most of the provinces are saying NICSO must have offices in provinces. So in that context, it is assumed that the registration offices and the public awareness will be done and people will understand. And therefore, this point is taken into consideration we will look into that. However, it has to be clear that if people choose not to register indigenous knowledge, you cannot protect that which is not registered. So there are two aspects of it. We must provide access so that people can register their knowledge. And that it is not compulsory, it is voluntary. If they choose not to, it will not be protected. And I think that's the provision in this particular one. On the 14, chapter 5, the accreditation, point A and B, that's exactly what the regulations are saying. That's what actually the bill is intending to do, is to assist with that. The question that is placed at the bottom of that page is an implementation issue. It is asking how is it going to be done. So those come out into regulations. This is about the why and not how it will be done. But it must be also noted that in this year, we are running a pilot of the same thing in KwaZulu-Natal. So when the regulations come out, they will have been based on actual work that has been done in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. So definitely, it's a valid question, but it will be catered for within the regulations based on actual experience, living lab. We turn on the page 2, around the question of the practitioner. This is referring to conditions for which a practitioner may be removed from the practice. But the actual quotation is in the definition of the word practitioner, and whether this thing may not affect the families. And the answer here is that no, it may not affect the livelihood of the family, because the actual activity being referred to in terms of the knowledge that they have continues to be used to sustain the families, but it is the practice as a professional member of that which would be affected. So the two are not one and the same. But we thank you for the raising of the question. Then chapter 6, this has been a general issue which has come out in most of the provinces, and it's been noted that as a section 76 bill, it is required to have this provincial presence. So even just by the legal provision, there will have to be NICSO offices. In regards to the registration of indigenous knowledge, we already have presence in every province. There is an ICAS documentation center, and we begin which are already registering knowledge in each province. So to a certain extent, those will be formalized as provincial offices where the knowledge will be registered. And that will be in line with the Section 76 provision around that. We have a different understanding around the issue of the curator. There's a proposal here on 18 that the curator's title should be changed to that of a researcher. They are actually very different kind of responsibilities that are envisaged by the two words. A curator is a person who is a technical responsibility to register and take care of that knowledge that is registered and maintain the registers. Now, a researcher does not maintain registers. is not a knowledge manager. They are seeking particular information to a particular result. So in this particular case, really, we think that the question was stretched. The curator should remain as a specific, because it's a specific role in that context. The commercial issue, the province has raised very interesting questions, and I think that when we talk about the development, you know, there are key issues in this legislation. It talks about the protection, promotion, and development, and then management. So this is the development side of the work that will require to be done. Within the Department of Science and Technology, there are already our partners who work in communities with laboratories and equipment. So we will link up with other colleagues in terms of how we roll out IKS within the structures that we have in the Department of Science and Technology. Definitely, there will be those kinds of facilities. In some provinces, we already have laboratories. In the Northwest, at the Northwest University, there are people that are actually already working in this direction. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have more than two laboratories. University of Zululand has got work, University of KwaZulu-Natal. So to a certain extent, we have feet already in this work. So we'll consolidate that when we move on. So I think these were the points that were raised from Northwest. All of them are very useful points, but they are matters that the legislation covers in terms of the way forward. The Free State, there were also no comments. However, there were a couple of comments from the Eastern Cape that were raised. But there are also questions that has came up in other provinces around the issue of the trustee. This has been an issue that has been discussed quite extensively in the consultation. So we will consider an aspect of where it doesn't just say trustee, but says trustee stroke trustees, that the communities may have the ability not just to have one person whom they can, but they could consider two or whatever it is. Now, we may not probably go as far as saying including a traditional leader, because that prescribes to the community. Each community may feel differently. And so to a certain extent, we would like to leave it within the ambience and the authority of the community to be able to decide whom they think would be a trustee. However, the numbers part of it, that we, I think it's a good input. We have listened going across our country. They've been asking for the numbers so that it's not just one. So I think that we could do that. There is a bit of a question, though, on that point. It does ask, talk about that one representative of broader stakeholder base. Now, remember, this is based on communities. Now, a broader base, a stakeholder base, we don't understand. So maybe if we had more information as to what they mean, we can provide a more specific answer to that question that has been raised. So we just had a question mark around that particular phrase on that one. Then we close six of the bill. Talks about the question of the minister to make sure that these offices in all provinces, it's a matter which we have talked about. Although we have already started with the IKS Documentation Center, because it's a Section 76 kind of legislation, it will compel us to begin to consider. So that matter is being taken care of by the nature of the bill. And then we move on to page 2, clause 7 of the bill. They are suggesting the amendment to include relevant. Really, it's just to the word relevant. I don't think that we should be fighting over that. It's becoming just more specific. So we will take that as an acceptable suggestion that has come through. And then in clause 12 of the bill, talking about accountability of the of the trustees and the like. Probably one of the things which the drafting of this regulation is people need to be careful and cautious is that these things are also covered in other laws. For instance, around trust laws. So how trustees behave and what is required of them is already covered in other. So this is really probably a reference to that. So we would want to really suggest that as part of that. In the section B and the number three, around the orphaned indigenous knowledge, or one where we cannot find communities around that, the proposal is that the custodianship be limited to a 2-year period. Now, it is not, if we did that, we would be anticipating that the situation will always be solvable. But we know that as we move further into the future, we are preparing this as a heritage for the future generations. So putting in a limited period of 2 will then take this knowledge and put it in the public domain, where everyone could have access to use it and exploit it. So that's why the custodianship is stretched. As long as we don't know who the owners are, then the office should be seen as the custodian to protect that knowledge. And so that's what we would look at that. But we are prepared as well to take advice on that. We will, in the process of looking at that, I think that they could take advice on that. I think those were the comments from the Eastern Cape, and good, pertinent questions around that. And then we had Limpopo. Limpopo, they are happy with everyone, with everything, but they want people who commit certain offenses to be imprisoned. And so to a certain extent, in this particular case, probably issues were only looked at in terms of a contract and the issues that probably that could be not criminal but civil. However, where fraud and others may be the case, that could lead to criminal offenses. So from that perspective, we take it under advice. We'll take it under advice so that we can explore the extent of that particular input from Limpopo, whether the criminal penal code could be used within this context. So, Chair, these were the key issues that were raised, and to a certain extent, the assist in clarifying much more clearer the process around the regulations, but also the concepts that are involved in. So I think that we, at the end of the day, are much richer in terms of the questions that have been raised. Thank you. I forgot one item. Western Cape, the review of the bill, the Minister of Science and Technology cannot have that responsibility. It's a responsibility of Parliament. And therefore, the matter has to be dealt with within the parliamentary processes around the repeal of the bill. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Northwest, you can understand that there's a lot of issues that they raised because the department was not there to explain to the people the issues where it is covered and how they're going to bring in and legislate. Regulations, yeah. So I think we can understand and we can see the importance
of the community if we're having public participation. I followed what you were saying, your input on the issues that was raised by Eastern Cape and the other provinces, and I'm glad that you considering some of it, because I could see, especially the years, that now the numbers of the people, five, not more than five, that you must put that numbers, it is helping you. And I think that it is good that you're going to relook and take it in consideration. But thank you very much. We are going to, because we don't have, do we have a problem to deal with it? We don't have a quorum to deal with the next item. But I think we are going to close our meeting now, because there's nothing that we can do. We're still waiting for Northern Cape's input, and I'm going to give notice now that we decided the committee that we are going to deal with it next Tuesday, just after the meeting of the Honourable Mineral, what do you call that meeting? Land and Mineral meeting. Just after that, the meeting of Honorable Safaku, we are going to deal with the Northern Cape's mandate. Because I asked the legal people, can we do it with the final? And the advice was we cannot, we must do it separately. So we are going to do it, and we just want to inform the department, even if you send two people of a relevant person to come and be there, so that you can address the issues that is raised in the report. You don't need to have the full department to be present. Just someone who can assist if it is coming through. So I'm going to declare this meeting. Honourable Member, is there anyone who wants to say something?
That's myself.
Honourable Safaku wants to say something.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Just a sense of appreciation for the department to be so honest and bring in the input. I'm from Northwest, but I'm happy that you even touched that the processing, and even mentioning that the university there, because there is a village that very, very passionate about it, where there is this Muritala Swain, okay, in Zerast, see. So I'm covered, and thanks also to our PLO there. No, thanks, that.
Thank you very much. Listening, I'm going to give you thinking about it now. Will there be opportunity that you can go, not like we did when we were in, what is that place name? Mpumalanga. Do something in the Northwest. Because I don't think it's a very good thing that you are not there to explain to the community, you know? If you can do a program like that, where the community, you can speak directly to the community, I will be very glad.
Yeah. Before we went to Mpumalanga, we had been in Maya King. Yes, so we really tried to look after their interests. Yeah.
Over to you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, the other plea from the communities is that whenever we are dealing with public hearings, we give communities a short space of time. I think Mr. Ndlela will attest to that, to say almost all the districts that we visited, there was an outcry of time, although accepting the bill. But finally, we had to say, let the bill go through.
hoping that in the near future we will be having amendments as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I also want to say thank you to the department for the work that you put in to create this bill. Opportunity for our indigenous people to come and bring their knowledge so that it can be captured somewhere for the future generation. And I hope, like the honorable member was saying, and I know that out of, as we go forward to introduce the bill, many things will come out. Because one concern in my area was, in Oudtshoorn, what if people already register Buhu? In Buhu, the argument is coming from the Khois. You know, that kind of issues came out. But like you were saying, to protect the rights of people, is you must come and register your product so that we can go deeper into all these things that people is raising. Who is the original people, and so forth and so forth. Thank you very much. I don't know if you want to say something from your side, but thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.